of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Everybody needs a Bible? There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Go ahead and grab that and turn to Galatians 2 and verse 20. I'm sorry, I'm chewing a mint because I get tired of breathing my own breath. Are you having that thing? And I'm like, whoo, better make sure your breath is sweet. You got to wear a mask. Galatians 2 and verse 20, right? Galatians 2:20 is an interesting verse. We are in our series. This year, our annual theme is putting roots downward and bearing fruit upward. And we're using Isaiah 40:31, that favorite verse everybody loves. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They'll run and not faint and be all that. Well, this quarter, we're looking at renewing our strength. We want to become strong again. I made this comment back a month or so ago. You know, it's interesting. When we think of 2020 versus 2021, it's like 2021. And I don't want it to win. I do not want 2020 to win. Okay, so we are going to win in 2021. How do we come back? How do we come back stronger than ever before? We renew our strength. We wait upon the Lord. We renew our strength. And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is the life-changing verse. It refers to itself as I call it the exchanged life, the great exchange. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, if you found it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's read it together as a family. Here we go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the danger in reading the Bible is we get so used to reading technical manuals and policy manuals in a monologue tone, we forget that the Bible is actually a message from a person to another person. So when you read Galatians 2:20, it's, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6 tells us this. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so it is not me anymore that's living. It is Christ trying to live through me. The Christian life is not about input or output. It's about throughput. It's about the Holy Spirit of God trying to live Christ's life through you. For I'm crucified with Christ. I died the death when Christ died. Nevertheless, I live, I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, now that I'm saved, now that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Look at that. The life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I had a long conversation in Sunday school about what is your faith and trust is in. What the Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It didn't say he believes in him. It believes on him. So you can believe planes fly, but until you buy a ticket and get on one, there's no skin in the game. You can watch people walk across a tightrope, but until you get on that person's back and cling, you don't really know what it's like. That's why angels can't preach the gospel. They don't know what it's like to be redeemed. What is your faith and trust on? What are you depending on? So when you look at this, it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, how do we get there? How do we get to that exchanged life? I've been talking about spiritual growth. This will be the third Sunday I've been talking about spiritual growth. Today I want to talk to you about the purpose of spiritual growth. We are to get to an exchanged life, to a life where Christ is living through us. See, look, God wants you to figure out where you are in your spiritual growth, and he wants you to go to the next level. Just like we grow physically in stages, we'll grow spiritually in stages. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 4. You're in Galatians, so go to the right just a couple of pages. You're in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse number 14. Now look at this. It's always been God's will that you would grow. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, he wants you to grow spiritually. Look at this. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness. God doesn't want you to be like an ignorant child who is easily duped by counterfeits. Remember, you folks in the military and in government service, you understand that it is your job to figure out who our enemy is and what their tactics are so you can defend against those tactics, right? You have an enemy spiritually. His name is Satan. He took one-third of the angelic realm with him when he fell and sinned against God. And their tactics, their mode of operations is counterfeits and confusion. That's it. See, God gave us free will, and he said, here, I love everybody. I died for everybody, but I've chosen everybody, but I'm giving the choice up to you whether you choose me back. So the devil knew you wouldn't fall for just one hoax. He had to perpetrate many. So God doesn't want you to be like an ignorant child who's easily duped and easily, tricked. He wants you to grow. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, in contrast to being a child who doesn't know anything, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into God, in all things. 2 Peter 3:18 says we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, that this life of growth is to be continuous from the moment we trust Christ as our Savior till the Lord takes us home to the promised land of heaven. We are to walk in him. Colossians 2, 6, as you therefore have received Christ, the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, none of us start out life as a born-again believer. None of us start off that. We were all born in sin. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's us. Because we made this mess as humanity, as human beings. We made the mess. Adam sinned. Right? He made the mess. Adam is the one who's held accountable, not Eve. It's Adam's fault, and we fell in Adam as he is our ancestral head. He's our father. But we all start in a place called unbelief, where we don't know the Lord as our Savior. But do you realize that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven had gone on without you? I do a lot of funerals. People die. Life goes on without them. It hurts. But the thought, when we were teenagers and depressed and thought of suicide and thought of these things, and to think that, our unbelief did not stop the truth of heaven, and heaven had gone on without us. Aren't you thankful God brought you the gospel? Aren't you thankful God saved your soul? Heaven has been notified of your impending arrival. Now, we don't need to take a load up right now, do we, Brother Deke? But when the Lord comes, we're ready. Right? We'll have rapture practice this afternoon. We'll all just jump up in the air. But the truth is, we know he's coming. But we all started in unbelief, living by the flesh, living the me-centered lifestyle, that where it's all about me. Then somebody brings you the gospel, and the first time you hear it, you ignore it. I know I did. And the second time somebody brings you the gospel, you think of all the things you would have to give up, which is just insane. That's the wrong way to look at things. And the third time, you list all the reasons in your head, I can't trust the Lord. Why? Because I can't live it. And you list all the reasons why you can't live it. And the fourth time you hear the gospel, or the fifth, or the sixth, or the hundredth time, the Spirit starts to move upon your heart, and you try to change your outward behavior. You try to be sweet, kind, play nice at home. You try to do these things, but nothing actually really changes. You want God's acceptance, you want God's forgiveness, but the guilt of your sin sets in. Because until you understand what it means to be lost, you cannot be saved. You need to know what it means. Now, I'm not saying you're the expert on sinners. I'm just saying even a child, when they realize they're a sinner, then there is a price for sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it was at that moment where I was convicted of my sin and convinced of my need of a Savior, I moved to the next stage of growth, which was salvation. When I turned from my sin and repented and called upon Christ, believing he died for me and asking him to save me, I was born again. Man, it was awesome. I had a glory fit. Man, it's like this weight came off of me. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:9, in receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. It's like in Romans or Revelation 19, it's like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Hallelujah. You're here. It's like, man, I'm excited. And I hope you never get over being saved. I mean, this is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Think about that. Right? Huh? This is as close to heaven, though, as your lost friends and loved ones will get. But when we're lost, we're ruled by the flesh, and But then we get saved, and you get excited about the fact that God would save a sinner like you or a sinner like me. And it's like, whoo-hoo, man, this is awesome. And you start to embrace, and you can feel and see and understand with your whole being, God would love a sinner like me. You realize you're eternally secure. You know, you weren't good enough to get it. How are you ever going to be good enough to keep it? The Bible says in John 3:37, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look that up, John 3:37. Need to memorize that? Mark that in your Bible. John 6:37. That means you can't give God a reason to throw you away. By the way, isn't it great God doesn't throw away broken things, bent things, messed up things. God don't throw away things. God fixes things. He heals things. You know, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love that. I love old movies. And in the old movies, they didn't have computers. They had a big registry book when you checked into a hotel and you signed your name. Or if you called ahead, they'd sign your name. And heaven got notified and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you obey and you're baptized. And you know, the Bible says that when we are baptized, it's a symbolic picture of what's already taken place in your heart. Baptism doesn't save you because it's not by works of righteousness, Titus 3:5 says. So you're presenting to the world that Christ is your Savior. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:16 that God is not ashamed to be your God. Isn't that cool? And then it says that Christ will confess you before his Father. Remember what it was like meeting your in-laws for the first time, not knowing they might actually be your in-laws? It's kind of nerve. But she or he wasn't afraid to introduce you to your parents, to their parents. When you trust Christ as your Savior, Jesus is not embarrassed to introduce you to his Father. Isn't that awesome? But you know, you're saved, you start to pray, and it feels kind of awkward, and you don't know what to say, but you start to find out that God really is interested in listening to you. He's really interested in meeting your needs, and so you start talking to God throughout your day. That's what he meant by pray without ceasing. You're just throughout your day, you'll talk to the Lord. What doesn't matter, the people sitting at the red light next to you think you're singing to the radio or talking on the phone. Just talk to the Lord. It's okay. It's all right. You can do that. You can get away with it. But do you realize God knows more about your job than you do? Maybe you ought to ask God about your job. Maybe he'd help you figure some things out. You start to read your Bible, and I understand you start to struggle with the wording and the sentence structure, but as you're reading it alongside me reading it, it starts to make sense, and you get used to the way it speaks, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, John 14:26, comes in, and he leads you and guides you into all truth, and now you want to go to church, and church is exciting because you don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to reveal next, the next time you're in a service, and you begin to have friends at church, Hebrews 10:24, by being encouraged, love, provoked unto love and good works, and things are cool. So you're like, hey, he did so much for me. You grow to the next level. I want to serve. I want to get busy. I mean, I want to. And you realize in Ephesians 2:10 that you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He did this on purpose. There are certain things God wants you to do. It's like your name's on it. You ever go to work and the boss is assigned tasks? Brother Carl, does that happen at your office? Do you assign tasks for your peeps? Imagine God has assigned tasks for you. Things that's got your name on it. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us. Isn't that cool? And your motive's pure, but maybe you don't really know how to go about it. When Ms. Mix was first saved, and we were out soul winning, we got into church. She'd go out with another lady, knock on her door and said, hi, my name's Sarah. I'm from First Baptist Church of Dunlap. And, you know, we're just here to ask you a question. If somebody put a gun to your head and shot you today, would you go to heaven? Maybe not the best lead up line, but boy, she'd lead them to Christ. They weren't sure what was in her purse, but they would pray. Huh? Is that you? Are you at that place where you're saved and you're excited? Wait a minute. Are you at the place of unbelief where you've not trusted Christ? Maybe you're playing the part just to get your wife to shut up. Is that your deal? That's why I went to church. Little did I know God was on my trail. Huh? Are you at the spot where you're saved and you're starting to read, but it's kind of awkward? Hey, I understand. We all been there. Are you at the place where you want to serve, you want to get involved? You're just not sure how to go about it. Or maybe you've moved to the next level I call frustrated inadequacy. You read, you pray, you attend services, but man, things just don't go the way you think they're going to go. You got all your visuals lined out. You're ready to teach that class. But boy, it's like slow death in a tar pit. You're getting weary in well-doing. It stops being exciting because it stops being new. And a lot of the old struggles you used to have before you got saved start rearing their ugly head, and you're frustrated, and you think, well, just fully, I'll quit. Is that you? Is that where you are in your spiritual growth? You know, I'm trying to do what I think God wants. I'm trying to do it all I can, the best I can, and I fail. And then you come across Romans 7:14, where Paul says, the guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, goes, look, the things I want to do, those are the things I end up not doing. And the things I know I shouldn't do, that's what I end up doing. You're like, oh, man, somebody understands. I get it now. Somebody else understands how I feel and what's happening to me. And then you start asking yourself, well, why did God allow me to get frustrated? Why did God allow me to hit a wall? Because he wanted you to grow. Do you realize there's so much more to this life than you've experienced now? You know, We have such high expectations on how life ought to be. When I talk to young people, especially people who are thinking about suicide, I'm like, listen, you're so young. Your expectations are out of whack with the world because you're expecting things to be a way that you haven't lived long enough to realize they're not going to be that way. And it takes decades to realize the things you want, and they are available to you. Love and acceptance and a home and a family and purpose. They're available, but it takes decades to mature yourself to a place to be the person you need to be. So sometimes you got to heal the child to heal the man, or heal the girl to heal the woman. It's true. Why does God allow these things? To make you into the person he wants you to be. If you'll stick around long enough, God will do it. Why does he allow us to get frustrated? Why does he allow us to hit that wall? So we'll recognize that doing it in our own strength and in our own power is not what he had in mind. Not in our own intellect and our own intelligence. No. He wants to do it through us. And to do that, we gotta surrender and let go. See, at the moment you realize this, it's not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, Zechariah 4:6 says. You, at that moment, it's not supposed to be our power, but his. It's not our intellect, but his. It's not his wisdom, our wisdom, but his. You move to that next place I call spiritual dependency. You're filled with the Spirit. You learn to walk and live and serve and love in the Spirit. Take your Bible. You're in Ephesians. Go back a couple of pages to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do I do that, preacher? Immediately confess all known sin. Get clean. Not cleaner. Not better. Quit calling it a weakness. Call it what it is. And confess known sin. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Confess all known sin. Look at verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? That means, okay, you got up this morning, you confessed all known sin, you told the Holy Spirit, I'm going to depend on you the best way I know how, but then you had to leave the house. Or maybe you got lucky, you got to leave the house anymore, huh? Right? So, or you got up and you went downstairs and interacted with your family. Hey, trust me, the minute you step out of line, and you will, you'll think thoughts you shouldn't. You'll say things you shouldn't. You'll not do the things you should do. You'll do the things you shouldn't do. At that moment, you need to recognize it, confess it, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We step out, we step back in line. We step back in. And we do that throughout the day. We keep short accounts. We walk in the Spirit. You'll enjoy your Christian life like never before. You will bear fruit like never before. You'll have greater peace and greater joy and greater fulfillment. Why? Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. And you know, people, I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's not that us older Christians that have been walking with God for a while are judgy. It's the fact that we really are aware of our own sin. You know, I ain't got time to dig into your life and become God's law enforcement. I got all I can handle right here. And I'm trying to deal with, you know, walking in the Spirit myself. I don't have time to police your life. That's why it's got to be a relationship between you and God. And it's going to happen. You'll get orders to another duty station or you'll bid on a job and they'll move you to another state or a city. It's got to be you and God walking together. It's got to be. And you feel that stirring in your spirit. I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm tithing, I'm witnessing, I'm going to church, I'm serving, I'm enjoying it, and I'm doing my best to walk with God. But then you feel this stirring in your heart and you think, oh man, I think the devil's after me. Have you ever thought maybe just perchance that God's after you? That he wants you to grow to another level? He's not content to leave you here. God is more. God has more for you and your life than you're currently aware exists or is possible. Do you understand? God has more for you. He wants more for you than you're even aware exists. So he will stir you. Even though you're doing right and everything and you're trying to walk in the flesh, he'll continue to stir you. Because you've got to get to the place where you're dealing with what I call pre-programmed bondage. You know, when God saved you, he saved your soul and he dealt with your sin, but he didn't really deal with our emotions. You know, we have ruts in our thinking, patterns of thinking that we've had since we're children. The idea of acceptance or rejection, or I'm somebody, or I'm nobody, or I understand love and warmth, but I also understand what coldness is. We deserve it, or we don't deserve it, or we're guilty, or we're not guilty. You know, a lot of people come to church, and they serve, and they look good, but inside, they don't like themselves. They don't like themselves. They don't feel his acceptance. You know, sometimes people who have the most loving, wonderful parents get to the point where they just assume everybody ought to love them no matter how they behave. And marriages end over stuff like that. And then you got folks who come from a background that has no love. And so they don't understand how to give love because they never received love. And so their marriages end. You know, you got to deal with this stuff. But it's not you actually dealing with it. It's you letting the Holy Spirit deal with it in such a way he heals you. Oh, he'll never take away the memory, but he will heal the pain of the memory, and he will use it for your good. You know, you ought to go back to the person who betrayed you. You know, or let's back up a second. Do you realize when God looks down at you, he loves you? He does. He does. This foolish idea that we've acquired from our childhood and teenage years that I'm not feeling accepted unless I'm accepted by the people around me. You know, you think that's a teenager thing. It's an adult thing. That's why you got to have the nicest, newest, fastest, prettiest, biggest dog, biggest gun, biggest truck, biggest... Really? Why? Because I want to be accepted. When you realize just how accepted you are by God, a lot of that foolish emotional garbage that we carried with us goes away. Because the truth is, you cannot be any more accepted than you are right now because God accepts you and loves you. He can't love you any more than he loves you right now. He loves you with a perfect, all-consuming love. He looks down at you with favor. You're the object of his favor. Oh, we're little children who make mistakes. That's true, and we have to apologize. We make mistakes, but we're under this foolish programming that we get as children. We let our past try to dictate today. No, you ought to thank God for your past because it made you the awesome person you are right now. I daydream. Do you daydream sometimes? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, sun's coming through the window, right? And you're just kind of, you'll daydream, right? And you're having to sit in your office for another 2 hours. And I'll daydream, you know, that I'm with Dr. Emmett, whatever his name is, from Back to the Future. If I had the old DeLorean, wouldn't that be cool? I'd go back in time and I'd pull that little teenager Johnny Mix aside and I'd have a talking to. Say, dude, don't do that. Don't say that. Oh, don't date her. Man, what a waste. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. No, you think back to all the mistakes you made and all the heartache you went through, and you think, oh, I could just change that. No, I like who I am today because of Jesus. And I wouldn't be the man I am today if all that wasn't there. Whatever abuse, whatever neglect, whatever shame, whatever mistakes you made, whatever problems you had, God has used them to make you the person you are today. And there's so much more he wants to do. So you got to surrender it to him and go, by faith, I'm going to forgive because I wouldn't be the person I am today. You wouldn't be in church. You wouldn't be saved. If you never had a problem, why would you need God? And if you could earn it, why would Jesus go to the cross? So God allowed it. You are accepted. You know, your past is your past. And wishing for a better past is a waste of time. Because it's a great place to be from, but it made you who you are. Now that you're who you are, God wants to do something even greater. Do you feel invisible in the kingdom of God? Maybe you felt invisible at home. Maybe you felt invisible at school. Maybe you feel invisible today. You're not invisible. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 6 that God sees the sparrow and he sees you. That his eye is on the sparrow and you're worth more than many sparrows. That's Luke 12, 6. You may not feel noteworthy, but God took the time to write your name in heaven. You may not feel like you're accepted, but he's waiting at the gate to accept you into heaven because you accepted him into your heart. You're not a servant. You're a son or a daughter. Galatians 4, 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus, Romans 8, 16 and 17. You're a joint heir. You're going to inherit everything God has. That's why we can come boldly under the throne of grace. You're not a slave. You're a son or a daughter of the King. And court stops when you pray. The court of heaven stops because you have access. God sees you. And now you grow to a place that I call the exchanged life. And that's Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. My past is gone. My past is irretrievable or unfixable, but God healed the pain and made me who I am. Nevertheless, I live, and now I am alive in Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for him who loved me and gave himself for me. The goal of spiritual growth is not for us to live in the flesh or serve in the flesh or do the best we can. Listen, the Apostle Paul started in unbelief and met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And then he served and he hit Romans 7 where he was frustrated. But only then did he know he needed to grow to where he could get to Galatians 2:20. How did he do that? For he was dead in Christ. Look, I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm saved now. I understand. But salvation does not guarantee transformation. It just gives you the opportunity for transformation. Well, salvation doesn't mean you are another man. It means you have the ability to be another man. Salvation doesn't mean you are a creature, a new creature. It means you have the ability to be a new creature. All you get at salvation is eternal life. Now look, go to Galatians 5. There are two lists of things that are available to us. Before salvation, only the works of the flesh was available to us. But now that we're saved, we have both that and the fruits of the Spirit. So now the battle begins in your walk with God. You've got two hearts. You've got two spirits. You've got two people, the old man and the new, trying to fight for control of you. So look at Galatians 5. It's kind of crazy. It says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it was like being lost. But in contrast to that, now that you're saved, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, the beautiful thing about this is either one of these can become habits. I love these shoes. I just love these shoes. I just do. You know, when I got them, though, they hurt my feet to walk in. Okay? They're real shoes. They got soles and everything. They're not spongy. And they're leather, right? And at first, I'd wear them all day, and I'd come home, and I'd just feel like, man, I must feel like like an old man. And I'd take them off my feet and go, oh. But, you know, I love these shoes now, man. They're broke in. And my wife will buy me new shoes and she'll say, listen, why don't you wear those wingtips? But I'll go get dressed and I have my routine and I just grab these and I throw them on. And she's like, when are you going to wear those new shoes I bought you? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just kind of in a routine. You have a morning routine, right? You're not going to wait till tonight to shower, right? You ought to do it in the morning. Anyway, the person next to you appreciates hygiene. Just want to let you know that. All right. But you have habits. All of us have habits. So finally, I put on the new shoes, and I'm like, oh, man, these are kind of hurt, and they're kind of tight, and they need to be stretched out because I got that one funky toe that kind of points in that direction, and I have to kind of make it work. But after a while, I get used to it. I get comfortable. You can either walk in the flesh, which is normal, or you can walk in the spirit, and it can become a habit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:24 that we are to put on the new man. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, we're to put on the new man. Let me give you an example. You come to church and you say to yourself, I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. But you get up and you kind of fall back into your old routine and time gets away from you. And you say, and it's not that you purposely didn't do it. It's just the fact that it's your routine. And you say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And you meant it. But you get up in the morning and something happens or the coffee pot doesn't work and you get it and it's a different routine. And a rut, it happens. I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying you either choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God and choose righteousness over the fulfillment of the flesh. You choose to surrender. You put it on. You know, love, it doesn't. You say, well, I'm not a person who loves naturally. Well, then change it. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, that love is a choice, not as a love. Love is not a feeling you feel. Now, I remember seeing Miss Mix for the first time. I didn't even know she was there because I was standing in the back row. She's in the front row. She's a little bitty thing. And we're dancing and trying out for this program. And all of a sudden, I catch sight of her. And I was smitten. Man, I was smitten. It was bad. I had it bad. Oh, my soul, I had it bad. This was worse than my Elvis face. I mean, I just bad. And I had to talk to her. I had to get her name and number. I had to talk to her that night. And I wasn't going to let anybody else. And I was kind of elbowing the other guys out of the way. I'm going to talk to this girl, right? But you know, after about 5 years of marriage, that all kind of dissipated. Oh, that didn't happen to you. I'm sorry. That just happened to us. Huh? You start to learn what real love is when the lust dies. When it stops being new, then you start to understand that love is a choice I make, not a feeling I feel. So when God says to love, to put on the new man, even though it feels awkward, I'm going to choose to love somebody rather than selfishness. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God and put on the new man. And at first, it's going to feel awkward. You know, you have love, you have joy, the opposite. You know, you decide. You're going to let my circumstances decide my life, or am I going to arise above that and trust God? Huh? It's not fake it till you make it. It's a surrendering of yourself, saying, I'm going to surrender to the leading of the Spirit, and I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to be at peace, and I'm not going to fulfill my fleshly lusting habit to fulfill the flesh. I'm talking about full abandon. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 7 that because I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I have to choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Remember, you didn't believe, you got saved, you started to grow, and then you served, and then you started to feel inadequate, and you started to walk with the Holy Spirit, and then you started to hit that pre-programmed bondage, and you like hit a wall. And you got to say to yourself, well, these are old habits of the way I feel, emotional habits and mental habits and physical habits. And how am I going to? You have to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. You got to surrender control. It's kind of like choosing this over that. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 4. Look at this now. This is what I'm talking about in the exchange life. This will change your life. Look at this. Ephesians 4, the change chapter of the Bible in verse number 22. Look at it now. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle, your old choices, your old habits, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you do that? Through the word of God. and that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how do I do that, preacher? I put this off and I put that on. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You mean, you know, some people lie when it's even more convenient and easier, just tell the truth. But it tickles their flesh to lie. At the moment of choice, act with spiritual integrity. That's what I'm asking. That's what the Bible's asking. Be angry and sin not. Put that off. Anger is not an adult behavior. It is a childish behavior. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Because if you mess up, you better fess up, quit it, and forget it. Neither give place to the devil. You're letting the devil play with you. Stop it. Let him that stole steal no more. Put off stealing. But rather let him labor, working with his hands. What do we call it? Delayed gratification. Go on and be disciplined. Say no to your flesh. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's lying, cheating, backbiting, gossip. Don't involve yourself in that office foolishness. But that which is good to the use of edifying. What can I say right now that will build people rather than tear them down? Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away, put off with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. You know, kindness costs you nothing, but it's worth more than gold. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I love that last phrase. You are surrendering to the Holy Spirit for Jesus, because the one that loved you most died for you. So back in Galatians chapter 5, let's look at those fruits of the Spirit real second. Remember, they can become a habit. They can become a lifestyle. That's what God wants us to grow to where it is not me living, it is Christ living through me. Look at this. You have to put on love versus selfishness. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. But choose right. Choose righteousness instead of the flesh. Do it for Jesus. You have to put on joy versus self-pity. Have a conversation with your own soul, like David did in the book of Psalms. What is wrong with you? Then he says, what is wrong with you? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? You're not going to hell. God provides for you, and God has allowed this struggle in your life because God's got something better for you. He's going to make you into something better. Start thanking God for the trials you've had because they've made you. They brought you to a place where you felt like you needed to be in church this morning. What if you'd have never gone through nothing and decided, I don't need to go to church? You think, well, that's no big deal. You know, I know the Lord is my Savior. What about those little kids you're raising? Whatever you do a little, they're going to do a lot. They don't become what you tell them to become. They become what you are. And if you are a flesh-driven Christian, they will be flesh-driven lost people because they don't need what you got. Authenticity builds credibility. So put on love, put on joy, put on peace versus worry. Have a conversation with your soul. You know, we got through 8 years of Obama. We'll get through 4 years of Biden. Right? Come on now. We're the only country in the world with the First and Second Amendment. Anybody who tells you that is lying. You cannot preach Jesus in England on the train and not get arrested. And they're a Western first world country. You'll get arrested in London. We have it. But do you realize for the past 2,000 years, every other Christian has lived in a country without the First and Second Amendment? Now, I love First and Second Amendment. And I may have to start a jail ministry from the inside, but the truth is, every other Christian hadn't had it. So we'll be fine. Because I don't know who's at the White House. I know who's in God's house. I know who's up there. So put on peace. Put on long-suffering instead of irritable. Being irritable. Do it for Jesus. Remind yourself what you were like before Jesus. Somebody else was patient and kind and loving and genuine, and that led you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How about you pay it forward? Do it for Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about the purpose of spiritual growth is not so you can just get through this life, but so that Christ can thrive through you. So you have to put on goodness versus meanness, faith versus fear, Meekness versus pride. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is your emotions under control. Meekness versus pride. Temperance versus self-indulgence. Our self-will is replaced with His will. Our selfish desires are replaced with His desires. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Put Him first, because Christ is our life. So back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It's not your life. It's His. It's not your life. You're dead. You were dead to God, but made alive in Jesus Christ. It is now His life. So where are you at in this whole progression? Are you unbelief? Then in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior and become part of the family. You're saved? Fantastic. Are you reading your Bible? Are you growing? I know it's awkward. I know it's uncomfortable, but it'll become a habit if you'll change your habit. If you'll say yes to the Spirit and no to your flesh, you will change your habits. And it'll become a habit. It'll become a wonderful time of refreshing, and you'll grow to a place where you serve and you want to be at church, and things will happen, but you will have some times of frustration where your inadequacies come out. And they're just coming out so that you'll recognize them and go, you know what? I need to start relying on God's strength and not my own. I need to start relying on what God can do. And you start praying prayers like this. Show me, God. Show me what You can do. I'll just be faithful. I want to see what You can do. Because when you finally give up, then God takes it up and grabs hold. What stage are you at? Are you trying to go to the next level? Are you willing to be broken of these foolish habits? We got a dog, and we're thinking about taking her to obedience training. Because she's got some habits that are just kind of disgusting and frustrating. And what do you got to do? What do they do there? They retrain them. Right? If a human can retrain a semi-intelligent animal, don't you think we ought to be able to train our children? Don't you think we ought to be able to train ourselves? Look, I understand it's hard. I understand it. And yeah, I'm back on the keto train, trying to lose this 50 pounds because, man, it's hard. It's hard on me. I need to do it. But you know how you do it? You say no to gluttony. You say yes to the Spirit. You say no to the things that you used to do before you were saved, like drinking and drugging and running and porn and the wrong music and the wrong friends and the wrong places. And you think, well, I don't do that anymore. I have a security clearance. Okay, well, what about bitterness and angerness? Bitterness and anger and wrath and malice. Malice is you delighting in the fact that somebody else is hurting because they're such stinkers. Those are real sins that God hates. Lying, duping other people, and hypocrisy, acting like you're more than you know you actually are. How about those sins? God wants to do something more than you can even imagine, but it's going to take you choosing Him today and then choosing Him every day and throughout your day and surrendering to the Spirit and saying no to the flesh. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God has so much more for you in this life than you even know is available. But if He gave it all to you at once, we'd forget we need Him. We'd just ignore Him. There's so many times during my time of unbelief that I was steeped in my religion, and I thought to myself, I got it all under control. If I just get a good job and if I just, you know, do this or that, I'll be fine. And then when I realized what a sinner I was and became a Christian by trusting Christ, incredible things have been opened. And that's why Jesus said, I've come to give them life and that more abundantly. Our Father and our God, we love You. And Father, we need to be reminded from time to time that there's so much more to this life that is being offered to us by You than we even know exists. And God, we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of when we're in a rut where we're just doing our own habits and not thinking about you and what you would have us do. I ask, Father, today you'd expand our thinking. You would, Holy Spirit, reveal to us our sin. Reveal it to us that we may confess it. We may come and take the witness stand against our own soul and agree with you about it and confess it. And, oh God, grow us, stretch us, that we might become more like Christ, and that others will see Christ, hear Christ, and experience Christ in us. And be saved as well. Speak to us, oh God. Do the work only you can do, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this, every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar is open. If you want somebody to pray with you, you can raise your hand and I'll come, or you can come down front and I'll pray with you. Whatever your need is, health or finances or healing, you need healing, let's pray over you. You need direction. You got a job coming up that you don't know whether you're supposed to take it or not, or this or that. You need a decision. Come, let me pray with you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me,
the Holy Spirit, make the great exchange.
No turning back.
Will you let Christ live through you? Will you let go?
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.
Life may not have turned out
no
the way you thought.
Turning back.
That doesn't mean it can't be everything God no wants it to be if you'll let Him. Back. Our Father and our God, we love you. We're following you. We are following you and seeking you. We ask God that you would continue to pry our heart open. Continue to speak, Holy Spirit, and convict us and convince us and show us the truth of that Christ taught. And Father, as we surrender in each area of our life to you, we ask that you would fill us and use us. And Father, may others come to know you as Savior. May they find what we have found. May they come to know you. And God, we just rejoice in what you're doing. And Father, we're excited about what you're going to do. So we thank you now, God, for what you're going to do in the future in each of our lives, how you're going to meet our needs, how you've done, you're going to follow through on the promises you made to heal our hurts and to grow us into the image of Christ. We thank you now for what you're going to do and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.